Welcome back, listeners. Another magnificent round of AFL football is in the books. I'm your host, Christopher Pepper, pumping out the Lace Out podcast. It's Tuesday night. I've got the co-host with the most, Jamie Wallace, otherwise known as a J-Dog. He's here with me. How are you, J-Dog?
I'm well, Peps. How are you going, mate?
I am struggling, but we'll get into that because there's a number of reasons why my heartstrings are pulling right now. It's almost, if you could have the theme of the Titanic playing at the moment with the way my season's falling out and probably yours after the weekend. Yeah, it's pretty disappointing and we're going to get into it in a minute. But, geez, it was an exciting round of football for mainly negative reasons for some teams and absolutely rippers for others. I know your mob, Port Adelaide, I think were the first team in the history of AFL / VFL football to lead a game from siren to siren and still lose.
Is that really, are we really the first team to ever do that?
I think you are the first team to ever lead without being in the other team being in front for the whole game, even after the siren, and still happen to lose.
We have got some distinguished records. I'm not going to, Port Adelaide has really gone out of their box to get some of these records, haven't they?
They are doing magnificent work right now. Some of the stuff that they are doing, look, they've, I think that's a first. They've also got the grand final record.
First team to lose to the two new clubs.
Oh, yes. And I think you've also got the fact that when was the last time you played Port? When was the last time you played West? I think you're the first team in consecutive seasons, I think, to lose at the same ground after the siren. Yep.
Oh, probably you're almost exactly on the same spot as well. Gosh, footy is brutal, isn't it?
Oh, footy is brutal. And if you want to get talking brutal, I know we're going to get into the games, but on Sunday afternoon, I was happy to go with a couple of mates to go and watch the Swans versus the D's. Halfway through the first quarter, ball's rolling towards us. And unfortunately, it looks like Alex Johnson's done his knee again, number six. And we were right in front of that, and you could just... You could just hear the noise in at the MCG because it was a bit of a cauldron effect.
Oh, you could hear it, could you?
You could actually, you couldn't hear obviously what happened, but you could just, you could hear silence because what had happened was is that where we were sitting, it was right on the fence line and the ball rolled out of play. So everybody's standing there and next minute you just see the players standing around. You couldn't understand what was going on because the fence was in the way. And then you could just see they zoomed in and you're going, and you could just hear just people's hearts sink, regardless of who you barrack for. Your heart sunk for this player. Now, five knee reconstructions, and I think those five have been on the one knee, and he goes and does the other one. I think when your time's done, your time's done, and unfortunately, I think Alex Johnson, I think his time's cooked, unfortunately.
Pretty brutal that last week he was going around all the radio stations, and they're all talking about how exciting it's been 2,000 days since your last game. To a week later doing interviews with radio stations again about how your season's or how your career is basically done.
Yeah, and I think if you have a look at it, there is a bit of a history with people doing it in their second game. I've got a feeling that David Schwartz did one of his after his second game back. And for some apparent reason, I've also got a feeling in my mind that Darren Buick did his knee, kicked a bag one week and then did his knee in the same game. We're going back a long, long time ago, but there is a bit of a hit. You get that one game under your belt, you start to loosen up a little bit, and unfortunately it goes again. So I can tell you now, though, that there was support. It was the first time I've actually seen the MCC put down their Sauv Blanc and their Brion Crackers and stand up as one to cheer an opposition player off. It was just everybody was standing, and it was just good to see that regardless of what happened to Alex and all the best to him, that the football community just got around him.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because that's tough. But, you know, it's happened again. You know, the news as of tonight is unfortunately close to my heart. Jesse Hogan's out for the rest of the year with a stress fracture in his foot.
Yeah.
Heath Shaw's done a medial ligament in his knee.
You must be feeling flatter than the Melbourne form line, being flat track bullies and all.
Well, you know, we're not flat track bullies because if you do have a look at
you are flat track bullies.
All right, we haven't beat a team in the eight. eight because we're one of them. Yes, I do. You can only beat who's in front of you.
I copped it all last year from you, so I'm just going to return serve back this year.
Nah, you're fair enough. It's tough when you know, I was at the St Kilda game. That broke my heart. I was at the first Geelong loss, broke my heart. I watched the second Geelong loss, broke my heart. I watched your mob beat us with goodness knows how long on the clock. That broke my heart because I had to come and speak to you about it the week after. And there's been one other one that we've had as well throughout the year. It just tears at your heartstrings when you just think that you're so close and then you're potentially going to go over in the last couple of weeks again. And out of them all, the most disappointing one was St Kilda, and every Melbourne supporter that you speak to will say the same thing. You know, we're up to our eyeballs in it with the Cats on both occasions, and we should have won. We should have won the one after when Tui kicked the goal. But sometimes maybe a hard lesson is the lesson learnt. And they keep going, in terms of age profile, I think they're still the ninth youngest list with the sixth youngest amount of experience. So they are still a very, very young team. I know you can only play that so many times, but you could just see the game on the weekend. We might as well start with the Sydney game as they beat the D's by 9 points, and we'll get into the housekeeping in a moment, but they were just seasoned. They'd been in those situations many, many times, and they just handled it a hell of a lot better. And Melbourne didn't. We didn't kick the goals. I think we were 60 to their 45 in terms of inside 50, so we've dominated again. Unfortunately, we weren't able to bring it home. And if you have a look at Sydney, they just did what they had to do.
Yeah.
13 goals, 9 to 10, 18.
Yeah.
And that's going to result in a loss every day of the week. So it was very, very disappointing. They had some great players.
The second quarter for you guys is really where you let them in. Like, you let them kick six goals, one, to you guys kick one goal, six. Like, actually, they're opposite reverse.
Yeah.
Bad kicking.
Completely flipped it.
Yep.
And then what we decided to do was we just wanted to give it was almost like it was cricket season. And we had the guy down the other end, and we were just throwing balls at him, and he was just picking them off. He's just cover drive. Literally, it was cover driving. We were just kicking him. He was just taking them.
So many bombs into your forward line. And he literally laps that stuff up.
Yep. And I think now that if they don't make it, there will be some questions asked. I don't think from a Goodwin perspective, but I think from the assistant's perspective that the connection between the midfielders and the forward line, it's just not there. It hasn't been there all season.
Well, Jones can't continue as captain now. Like, I know we're going to talk about leadership from Port Adelaide's perspective as well, but Jones can't continue as a captain anymore.
He's been fantastic for the club. I would actually go down and say he's been one of the greats of the Melbourne Football Club. He's a three-time best and fairest winner, but more importantly, he was the only shining light the club had for 6 or 7 years.
So for him to
stay the test of time for that entire time, I'd love to have him play a final series, but I do think it's going to be handed over to Viney, and his leadership for a young bloke was something that was sorely missed on the weekend. Definitely missed. They've got a great nucleus. If they get Gaff next year, it's just going to add that speed that they require. But definitely some of the assistants will be starting to feel a little bit nervy if it doesn't go their way over the next couple of weeks. But we just don't know. This is a fickle game because only 3 weeks ago, Gold Coast beat the Swans.
And the fact that Sydney have still got their top four hopes still there. How many times have you written them off this season and they still are just there?
I can't keep track. I think we did something I think we might go on one of the lace out potties from a little bit earlier. I was sitting there with my brother, and we actually went through the top eight, and it was North and Sydney were the ones that we thought we were going to drop out.
Yeah.
North have gone. They need a miracle. Melbourne need a miracle. Your mob need a miracle.
Yep.
And I think the Cats have got a miracle if you have a look at their next two games. But Isaac Heaney, he was brilliant on the weekend. Alir, he was just picking them off left, right and centre. It was just the Sydney of old. I think it was like a Sydney that we haven't seen for a number of weeks, just came in, just dominated the game. And everything that Melbourne could do to lose a game, they did. Their field kicking was awful. Their tackling was woeful. Delivery. Yep. Funny enough, Australia Post, they had better delivery than the Melbourne midfielders into the forward line. And no one has ever said that about Australia Post before.
No. Maybe you can table this conversation at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But just the hitouts 57-19 in favour of Melbourne, is the pure ruck roll dead? No. Like, well, Richmond don't play to a ruck roll anymore. They don't care about clearances and stuff like that. The hitouts just seem to be so one way to Melbourne that you should get first advantage like you guys should have, but your clearances don't indicate that. 33-33, so...
Yeah, look, I'll go back a few weeks ago when Melbourne played the Doggies at the G.
Mm.
I mean, you can watch that third quarter. I think it was third quarter. Yeah, third quarter where Max Gorn just seven goals in 12 minutes.
Yep.
You can go back to me and tell me when you've got a ruckman who's on song and a midfielder who are just lapping it up off him.
I'm just trying to find excuses for our team now because we've got no ruckman, no tall anymore.
So we might as well have a chat about your mob. But before I do, I just want a bit of a shout out.
Yes.
One guy I was really excited to play a good quality game. Well, obviously Oliver's killed it again. Brayshaw, Brayshaw had another fantastic game as well.
Yeah.
A couple of the lower lights. JKH, J. Kennedy Harris, actually has started to pick some momentum up in the last couple of weeks, which was great. Dom Tyson has started to pick up a bit of momentum. But the guy that really stood out to me, and he does get a bit of stick from Melbourne supporters, is big old Sam Frost. He played on Buddy and virtually didn't give him an inch. And there were a couple of occasions where he's actually sprinted off Buddy. And so I think that was the perfect matchup. It was just the little things that, you know, he just didn't have enough support. It's going to be good. They'll get Melksham back this week. They'll get Hibbard back this week. So that's going to... it's going to replace Hogan, and it's probably going to replace, if I had to pick someone, I might even say Alex Neil Bullen. Could be.
Okay.
For the first. But, it's going to be tough from there. Max Gorn wasn't 100%. He had a corky in the back of the calf, so he'll be better off for this week's run. But we have a good record against West Coast over there. We beat them against the odds last year.
Mm-hmm.
Without Gorn and also without Hogan. And so there's no reason why we can't do that again.
Well, Isaac Heaney's retired Hogan for the season.
Yes. But also...
Mark of the year over.
Yeah, well, I'll choose. Well, I was about to say, you'll see now when you watch the late night shopping channels and they sell those foldable ladders.
Yeah.
Hogan will have that sponsorship. Because... there's only one step ladder better than me, and it's the one that folds in 72 different combinations because that was a big grab. That was a big grab.
That's huge. Yeah, and don't believe the fake news. Hogan hasn't got a broken leg part. He actually got Mark of the Year taken over him. His heart has exploded.
Well, Melbourne have a tendency of that. Jeremy Howe. Oh, no, Jeremy Howe didn't win Mark of the Year last year. No, should have. Right. Oh, that was when...
Was it Robertson got a Mark of the Year taken, the Mark of the Century over him?
Over who?
Goal square?
No, that was Sean
Smith. That was a Melbourne guy over that, wasn't it?
Gary Lyon. It was over Gary Lyon.
Sean Smith got a mark over him in the goal square.
Sean Smith, mark of the century. Yep. Sean Smith, absolute gun. East Keeler Football Club alumni. Sean Smith, top bloke.
Oh, really?
Yep, played for the Cougars. Top bloke. Plenty of time. Smitty.
Who's the fellow at your club who's willing to bring that up on a Friday night after a couple of drinks or a Saturday night after a couple of drinks?
Probably me. Probably me. I played football with the guy that took Mark of the Century. Yep, that's me.
Couple of Jimmy cans.
Yeah, couple. Definitely a couple. Couple. Well, one per kick. So probably four at the most. Hey, I want to have a chat about your mob. West Coast, 4 points.
Yeah,
9-8-9-4. You led from start to finish. Like I said, siren to siren, 100% in front, and you're still having to lose a game. First time in VFL AFL history, they believe. What went?
Can
wrong?
Can I come off the long run here? I'm coming off the long run on like a 1970s whacker pitch here.
Okay, so you're going a bit of.
I'm gonna throw some bounces, mate.
A few Joel Garners at me. All right.
They may hit. They may not hit. But I. That broke me on Saturday. It broke me. I was a broken man. I was just sitting there. Oh, God, it was heartbreaking. Only because this is it. As you know, Port Adelaide tragic. Sat through the 2017 grand final. then sat through all those terrible years under Primus, and then the Ken Hinckley 13-14, life was good. But, I mean, this guy now has had 6 years at the job and things aren't improving. Leadership, game style, none of that is improving. The skills have gone backwards and we've still got 3 more years. And this is Port Adelaide through and through. This is just a consistent decision-making that leads us down this path. And we're going to be 3 years down the track and be no further. We've got on-field leadership that didn't talk on Saturday night to allow our young fellas to kick the ball around and chip it and kill the game. So I was livid, and I'm even livid at Koshy and KT, because last year when the Suns were sniffing around Ken Hinckley, they flinched and they signed Hinckley up to 5 years extra. That decision is going to come back to rue this club unless something seriously changes at that upper level now, because I think we're staffed for a while. That's all. That's my rant over Peps.
Oh, and the J-Dog Big Bite, as we like to call that one.
You know,
51 seconds to go in the game, you were up by 8 points with 51 seconds to go in the game.
Yep.
Lacroix kicks one.
Yep.
And then you still have 40 seconds left on the clock by the time the ball went back to the middle.
Yep.
And they still able to kick another one. And it was interesting. I was driving home from doing the shopping.
Yeah.
And when I was listening to the game, you could hear the commentators saying, McGovern's going to be down there. They've got to bomb it long to McGovern. There's no one who will go with him. They've got a short. They've got the extra man back. They were talking their way as if to say, they've seen what's going to happen.
We've all seen it. We've all seen Port capitulate in the fourth quarters. It just annoys me, Pep. Sorry, I get emotional about it because it just annoys me.
I think our two teams are on very, very similar paths at the moment. I think you're a little bit further down the track than I am. I'm frustrated because I haven't gone and watched a Melbourne game in September for 12 years.
Yeah.
At least you've seen a premiership in that time. I haven't even seen an elimination final with my own team in it. So that's what frustrates me. And it's almost like, I've used the analogy before. It's like when you go to the strippers and you get so close, you can taste it. And they just tease and they tease and they tease, and then they go, nah, access denied. See you later.
Yeah. I'm sick of the Ken Hinckley.
That's what apparently it's like at the strippers. I'm not into that, but.
Well, I'm sick of the gold passes to players who don't deserve it. And I'm sick of the way that Port Adelaide isn't Port Adelaide anymore. It went from being, we existed in premierships to now adding in some other rubbish at the end of it, to make our community proud. We changed our motto as a club, and now we've moved away from being the tough decision makers that once made us, pretty strong club in the Sandful, to just a so run AFL club that's happy to just middle table every year. It's just beyond me.
If you said at the start of last year after the trade period, you guys picked up Watts, Motlop and Rockcliffe, and Essendon picked up Saad, Stringer and Smith. Now, if you looked at the three, and you said, who came out better in that deal and who would be in a better position?
Yeah.
You probably go the upside would have been more with your mob.
Mm.
You would have thought, especially with Rockcliffe, multiple best and fairest winner. Motlop can do anything when he's on, and Watts probably just needed a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
They've been very underwhelming throughout the entire year.
Very.
Where the flip side's happened with Essendon. Devin Smith's been amazing for Essendon. Saad's been more than serviceable. And Stringer's last month of football was like, where's that been for the first portion of Stringer, the year? I know there's been...
2016 Stringer. Back, almost.
It was. Like, even though he's got, arguably the worst tattoo ever to play AFL football. That monstrosity on his chest. Besides that head, he has to look at that chest every time he gets out of the shower. I genuinely thought that you were going to be top four because you had the likes of Wingard, Wines, Boak, Westhoff, throw some out, Robbie Gray. Like, you haven't got duds there. And no, I think you're you're underwhelming. And I feel your pain. I do feel your pain. And Port Adelaide supporters, tell me, if you're feeling your pain, let us know about it.
It's just going to come to the point where people won't turn up to games anymore. Like, it'll be almost back to the Tarps.
The Tarps are coming back.
Like, I told you, don't get rid of the Tarps.
The ATM Tarps are coming back.
Food bank, ATM. Aussie ATM are going to be our sponsors again.
Oh, they're coming back. The Tarps are coming back. All right.
Yep. But, anyway, so I've come up my long run.
Yeah, look, it was a bit of a full length, but out of respect, I'm just batting it straight back to you.
Very good. Thanks, Peps.
That's all right. Hey, West Coast, do you rate them?
Yes, I do. I don't think you get to second without a good reason to be there. It's hard, isn't it?
It's a hard one. It's funny.
Because they shouldn't have beat us, but they did. But that's what they do. That's what good teams do.
I think that's the thing, is that they are a good team. We do, you know, the D's play them this week. Like I said, I'm pretty confident going over.
Yep.
Especially if, what's his name, doesn't play? Good old Josh Kennedy.
Which one?
Yeah, the one that Carlton didn't want. He's not playing.
He's out for a season, isn't he?
Yeah, he's out. So it's going to make it a bit easier for us. I think we're like, but you just don't know. Essendon went over there and beat them.
Yep.
Okay. So they are beatable.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've just got a lot through the middle at the moment. And if you have a look at some of their players, there are some Franklin's no names in this mob.
Yeah. You know,
Venables, Cole, although I say Lysett, he's been picking himself up. He's a bit of a no name. Ryan, you know, Sheed's playing some decent football. They're just playing good football. And you know, Adam, but 12 months ago, they were sitting virtually second last.
Yeah.
So something's happened, whether it's been the Sam Mitchell factor, I don't know, but they're doing all the right things. And I think having that bigger ground is making it easier for them when they come over to the Eastern Seaboard to have those victories. They've had some good success at the MCG this year. They've also beaten teams on the road.
Yeah.
They're not going to be the easy beats that a lot of people have thought West Coast are going to be. And
no.
If I decide, say, Richmond West Coast Grand Final, if they do finish second, or it's going to be a Richmond GWS.
Yeah.
I think that's the way I look.
If they get the finals, I think Kennedy will come back probably first or second week of the final. Oh, sorry, actually get the week off, don't they now?
Yeah.
So Kennedy may come back probably first, second week of the finals if they get that far.
And if they don't have to travel, it's going to make a massive difference.
Huge difference. And they can play, as we've said, I think a few times now, having that bigger ground, they can play the MCG now.
Hey, quick question for you.
Yeah.
If you're playing for St Kilda right now, would you ask for a trade?
They shut up shop, didn't they, in the second quarter? Jeez. I think they're in a similar situation to probably what Port are. I think they've got a coach there that's not really taking them anywhere. But then they got the backing on Friday night. I heard from the president that Alan has got their support, Alan Richardson's got their support. So, geez, I don't know. It's interesting.
I've got a few friends of mine who listened to Lace Out. Good old Christy Lee Osborne. We've also got the Butterworths and also the Carusos. Three just avid and big stone cold Austin Schrabbis who love listening to Lace Out. And they're really passionate St Kilda supporters.
And
big Tommy Crawford, the old toilet clogger himself. He's
going to hate you saying that.
I don't really care. they'd be slitting their wrist right now. They would be slitting their wrists based on the way that they're performing. You know, they were looking at being on a similar path to what Melbourne were, and they've gone completely the opposite way. How they beat us, I've got no idea. A couple of weeks ago, I've got no idea, and that's what hurts even more when you see what they did against Essendon on Friday night. They went down 18 goals, 14, 122 to 11 goals, 13, 79. They got smashed.
Yep, second quarter especially. It's almost like watching second quarter. They got five goals kicked on them and they just stopped. They just literally stopped playing after the second quarter.
What? And I don't see any hope for them. So who's their shining light? Like who makes you stand out and go, mate, he's the heart and soul of St Kilda right now?
Some of the Jacks.
Which one?
Jack Sinclair.
Are you just picking names out of a hat at the moment?
I'm just saying.
What about Jack Billings?
Well, yeah, Jack Billings, Jack Steele. What's wrong with those guys?
Jack Stevens.
Yeah, David Armitage.
I might as well call him Jack Armitage. How about, you know
Deb
who they
Ross?
Need? Yeah.
Deb Ross?
Yeah, do you know who they need?
They've got a few.
They need Jack Daniels back. They need him back.
I reckon
if I walked down the street and a St Kilda player came my way, except for Carlisle and Paddy McCartan, yep. Paddy McCartan's a big unit. He'd probably be wearing a helmet walking down the street just in case. And you'd know Carlisle because he'd have, a white nose. outside of that, Tim Membry, because he looks like he got attacked by a box of Crayola crayons. I wouldn't know anyone.
Tim Membry would also probably have a wonky left leg or something as well because he can't kick straight.
No, he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat at the moment, could he? But they're shocking. Like, they don't stand for anything.
Yeah.
No. And I know, it is a real ballsy call to back him in. On the flip side, if you're an Essendon supporter, which, if you are, thank you for listening to the podcast, but I hate your team. You would be just sitting going, what a wasted season.
Yep.
Because they have been playing some sexy football the last few weeks. And look, using the old quote, they are a mathematical chance to make the eight. Don't think they will because their first half of their season threw it away.
Yeah, yeah. But it's getting better with them. Arazio signed on for them.
Oh, good on them, Arazio.
Another contract. Yeah, Fantasia. Good on them.
Fantasia, how long for?
Well, I'd say probably a four-year deal. Wouldn't it? I don't know exactly, but he'd be young enough to get a four-year deal.
Yeah. Okay.
I reckon.
Yeah. So he signed up, which is great for them.
Mm-hmm.
They've definitely got a bright future. I think they'll attack the trading season again.
Yeah.
A mate of mine, Richard Little, he is part of the Essendon Inner Sanctum, and he was pretty bullish about their drafting when I spoke to him at the start of the year. So it'd be interesting to have a chat to him because we usually catch up around Christmas to sort of think. I didn't give any secrets away because obviously draft and trading time's done by then, but just the thoughts and theories about what about this guy, what about that guy, and just what goes around. It was pretty interesting to sort of see that. They mentioned a couple of names. I think it might have been Devin Smith that they mentioned a couple of times. And then someone came back a couple of weeks later and said, hey, what do we ever do about him? And it was like, go and get him. He's still available. Does he still want to come in? It's been a masterstroke. He's going to be an All-Australian for him this year. He has been sensational. Makes you want to watch the footy. Does matter what to make you watch the footy. One thing outside of that, though, was good old Nathan Brown's bump on Adam
Sutton. Yeah. Look, what do you think? Is it worth it? Is it worth 3 weeks?
Well, for people who don't know, he got 3 weeks from the tribunal today.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worth it.
That is a bit of a lip licker, that one, as you sit back and think.
Yeah.
Saad's going to probably play this week.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's one thing. The other thing that I look at is he did pick him off. Like, he was a good second late after he disposed of the ball. He deliberately took him out.
And
they say if you elect to bump, you suffer the consequences. He didn't actually even hit him in the head. It was the whiplash effect.
Yep.
AFL don't care. They like the Keno ball, the Keno guy. They just throw all the judiciaries into a barrel. They roll it around. They pick a number out and go, that's how many weeks. Nothing makes sense. He gets three weeks for that. Tommy Mitchell elbows Goldstein in the head and gets a reprimand.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I would have probably have gone two.
Yeah.
I think two would have been a bit better. Three. Well,
how do you stop it though? Like, I get when they say when you tackle someone and their head smacks the ground, you've got responsibility when you're tackling on them. But when you're bumping someone, how do you have responsibility for any actions out of that other than high contact, which it wasn't? It was just a bump to the shoulder.
Yeah, I think the game is so regulated these days that you can't. Yeah. And look, he was fine by the end of the day. He was upset with his teammates on the bench.
Mm.
But it's so regulated at the moment. You can't blow your nose without getting weeks.
No,
and that's the frustrating thing is that if you speak to any of the players, you listen to them on the radio, listen to them on other podcasts, they all saying it's frustrating because 1 week we look like we can do something, and the next week we've got no idea what we can and can't do. It's just not clear. And if we're the players out there, putting on this spectacle every week, and we don't know, Yeah. How is Joe Blow supporter in the stands going to have any idea?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what happens is that when you try and implement too many rules,
yeah,
the little things are going to slip through the cracks, and then there's no, it's either black or white. There's no gray.
Yeah.
Yet the way that they're managing it, it's like, well, it can be gray this week, but it can be maybe dark black the week later, or it could be a very light white the week after that. You just don't know which way they're going to attack it.
It's hard though, isn't it? Because they tried to do that point system where they tried to explain it to us and with a point system and how it worked, but then that ended up just being kerfuddled as well.
Yeah, so, I think it's you probably get 80% of the time it's right.
Yeah.
But there's that 20% that are so borderline. I think one of the biggest issues that they have is that they slow it down. I think they have to watch it in, I don't think they should be able to slow it down frame by frame by frame.
Because I completely agree with you.
You don't play football frame by frame by frame.
Nope. Exactly. I completely agree.
So that's probably one thing, but no, that'd be too hard for them to try and work out.
Yep. Tomorrow. Yep. Anything on Goddard yet? Has he come out and said what he's doing next year?
Yes. He's going to be a quality control officer at Parker's Pretzels. That's all.
That'd be good. That's a good, I don't know, is it more finger wavering around?
No, he's it.
Maybe he'd be more of like a mid-level manager at the pretzel company. Oh,
you'd tell him to get stuffed, wouldn't you? Really? He just looks like he's getting that many cheap kicks out at the back at the moment. He's just padding, he's just padding up his super coach team.
I love it.
No, I just don't have a time. I just don't have any time.
All right. But you know what?
Stuff that game. I want to talk about the game that happened on the weekend after that. Hawks and Cats.
Yep.
Wah, wah, wee, wah, in the words of my friend Borat. Mm-hmm. Hawks won 10 goals, 11, 71 to 8 goals, 12, 60. Geelong, yep. they love coming home with a wet sail, don't they?
Oh, it was tight. I was at that game. It was tight.
You went to that game, did you?
I did.
Just nothing better to do.
With a couple of the boys. Yeah, it was great.
Thoughts, feelings? Tell me about it.
I don't care where these teams are and where with their lists. These games are always a cracking game any time of the season. And it lived up to it. Lived up to it again.
Yep.
Hawks, I thought, had it won easily. You know, pack it in. She's done. But yeah, she said the Cats come home hard.
G. Ablett.
Yep.
What did you think of his game?
In terms of just dominant around the ground.
he
was vintage. He was vintage.
Oh, and you know what? I really feel sorry for the bloke. Because if that guy's name was, I don't know, Alex Neil Bullen, and yep. he had the type of game, they'd be saying it was a breakout game, awesome game, slot him in for the 3 votes. Yep. Gee, Ablett has it, and it's like, yeah, you know, played well, but his defensive side of the game wasn't there.
Yeah.
He's just, he's played at such a high level for so long.
If only you had a trumpet, Peps, this week, we've finally got someone who has beaten Tom Mitchell in the stats.
Oh, ha, ha. Actually, no.
Like, you know those angels from, like, the Herald, you know, boop, 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 all those things?
They actually drew, by the way. They both had 32. Well,
I'm going to call it.
But Dangerfield had 40.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Dangerfield had 40. Yep.
Because, well, I'm going to give it to Ablett because they had one more tackle. And I think in the midfield, a tackle is really important. So.
Well, he did have Ablett.
He kicked 3 goals.
Yep. 152 dream team points. He kicked 3. Yep. And that's the main thing. He kicked 3 goals. Mwah. Beautiful.
Yep. Bravo, Gary Ablett, for that game.
Exactly.
But if you his head was lit. Like the light off his head on Saturday in that sunshine, it was glorious.
It was shiny, wasn't it?
He had that Karuba wax.
Yeah,
just perfect.
Do you reckon that he gets his beard done at the same place Acker used to get his done at?
Ooh, no, because there's no tinge of like that bloody shitty orangey blonde stuff he gets put through it.
Yeah, it just doesn't look right when a bald guy has a beard.
No.
It's just like you're going from a beach into a forest without any road. It just doesn't look right. I'm sorry. Not at all.
I've never actually seen anything with a beard. So that, what about you with a beard?
Me? Oh, yeah. Sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, well, you and I will be having beards. I mean, we'll be bald and beard soon.
Speak for yourself.
Well, true.
No, don't worry. The solar panels are starting to get a little bit bigger on the forehead.
Yeah, we rock some serious solar panels, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Stress.
You know what it is? It's, yeah, well, I don't see many bald Richmond supporters.
No.
I don't see many bald Collingwood ones. Oh, they've got no teeth. But besides that, like, you don't, yeah. No, there's just too much stress. Too much stress.
Anything about this game that's particularly stood out to you?
I think you just said it all. It was just a contest.
Yeah.
It was just a contest. It was just a contest. And I think that's the most important thing that from a contest perspective, that's what you want. You just know that, you know, when Carlton and St Kilda turn up, you know it's going to be shit. With these two, it could be played in the middle of a hurricane, in the middle of the night, and you'd still go out to watch it because you know it's going to be a quality contest.
Yep, and they probably had a chance to win it because they did kick four behinds in the last quarter and kick three off. What was it? Three goals.
Yeah.
So they probably could have won it if they actually kicked a bit straighter.
Yeah, but
the Cats.
Every team says that. Oh, we could have won if we kicked straighter. We get that. But I think with the Cats perspective, they've got, you know, this week they've got Fremantle at home. And the week after that, they've got a tough one to finish off the season, which is Gold Coast.
Yeah. I think they're in, aren't they?
So they're in. So it's either going to be my team or your team that's going to fall out. And if we have a look at the, you know, the remaining games, and we'll get into that towards the end, you've got Collingwood at the G. So that's either going to be happiness for one or divorce for the other in your family.
Yep, in my family.
And then the week after that, you've got Port. You've got Port and Essendon.
Yeah, we're stuffed.
You could be stuffed. You could be stuffed.
Yep.
We just don't know what's going to happen. We just don't know what's going to happen.
No.
That's exciting times. We love football. We love football.
We do.
You know who doesn't love football at this precise moment? Would be the Gold Coast Suns. They did a few weeks ago. But just going down at Metricon Stadium by the tune of a lovely 74 points, 19 goals, 11, 125 to 7 goals, 9, 51. Yep. Do you reckon Stewie Jew would just go home, like, and this would be the perfect weekend just to throw on that second quarter of the 2008 AFL Grand Final and just watch the greatest 7.5 minutes of football anyone's ever played?
The ultimate Rezzy's game. Yep. Absolutely.
And you would just sit there and just go, this is what football's all about, not what I had to sit through for the last 21 weeks.
Well, what is so scary for this, for the rest of the teams playing in the grand final, in the finals, because let's face it, our teams won't do much. Richmond are only getting better. They're getting their stars back and they're only getting better coming into the finals. That's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but I reckon
they are so far ahead.
They are so far ahead, but I think it's actually terrifying for them. And here's why.
Really?
Yep, here's why. They haven't been challenged. And I don't mean by other teams. I'm talking from an internal perspective. I'm going to go through some names here. Riewoldt.
Sure. Yep.
Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Rance.
Yeah.
I'll even throw in... Did I say Cochin yet? Nope.
No, you haven't said Cochin.
And I'll throw in probably Grimes as well. So there's five players. Now, I think those five players have missed a maximum of 3 games over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So they've got their full complement. And so they haven't really been tested from a personnel perspective. You can replace your little forwardy guys, and you can replace your little back line players, and a few through the
middle.
But they haven't had one of their big guns go down yet. You know, if you have a look at all the other teams, 2 to 8 at the moment, they've all had big people go down.
Yeah,
they haven't had anyone.
Yeah,
how good are Richmond going to be? Let's just say, if they lose a Rance. Rance and Riewoldt.
Yeah.
Are they still as dominant as they are? I don't think so.
No, probably not. But at the same time, the other clubs have had good runs, like a Sydney in the early early 2000s. They didn't have an interest for like 3 or 4 years as well. Like, to win premierships, you need, like, winning premierships is not an easy thing in this league.
Making finals is not an easy thing in this league.
No, exactly right. Yeah. So the fact that they've had this luck with their injuries, yep, make hay while the sun shines, as they say.
Oh, yeah. And let that hay grow.
I actually hope they win it.
Yeah.
But I hope they lose it. Because if you know any Richmond supporters out there at the moment, they are walking around like they've already won it.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time a grand final was won in August. Don't think there has been one. It'd be interesting. And not many favourites in the last 20 years, I think, have actually won on grand final day. There's not too many of them in terms of raging favourites. And they're a raging favourite regardless of who they play.
Yeah.
So the pressure is all on them. And last year was a little bit different because they hadn't actually achieved anything. But they've been so far ahead of anyone this year, you just don't know what's going to happen. Now, mind you, did you hear Damien Hardwick's call or his statement in his press conference on the weekend about Jack Riewoldt?
About the individual?
Yep.
Yep. Yep, it was a great individual day for Jack, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't want one player kicking 10 goals all that often. We'd like to share it around. Excuse me, I would love for someone to kick 10 goals in a game because it's 10 goals. Last time I checked, you don't get bonus points for having the most goal kickers. It was one of the stupidest things. If you speak to anyone, they're like, oh, God, it's a team game. Screw that. If a guy's in a position to kick 15, you give it to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what goes through this whole selfless. He's so selfless as it is. Mate, it was great to see someone kick a bag for a change. God almighty. Yeah. And as soon as someone does something completely out of the ordinary, we want to strip it back. No, don't do that. Don't do that again. No, we've got to share it around. We're going to have three people to kick three rather than one guy kick 10. Blood grass. Christ almighty.
And it's spiced up the old goal-kicking competition again.
Oh, wasn't it good to see? Oh, Krusty's still in front, isn't he?
No, I think Jack is. Well, they're equal.
They're equal, are they?
Yeah, because Krusty had a couple of dodgy weeks.
Yep.
And then Jack just puts in a 10-goal performance.
Exactly right. So Benny Brown and Riewoldt are sitting on the same.
Yeah.
And then they've got six to Buddy. Buddy's not going to make that up.
No.
A couple of weeks. Wow, that's exciting stuff, isn't it? That is exciting just to see that finally we're going to have. And you know what? Hopefully they break the magical 65 figure for the year.
Oh, it's a big achievement.
That's a big number, 65.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus, excuse me.
I wonder if you know the kids and generations that come will ever get to see a 100 season goal again.
Yeah, they've got YouTube. Put on Jason Dunstall's greatest hits, or put on Gary Ablett Senior's greatest hits.
That's I'm the still shattered for Fev. How about Buddy Fev? Poor form, Alistair Clarkson.
That was shit. That was poor darts. Poor darts at its finest. But you know what, Richmond? They are looking unbeatable. Like I said, I don't think anyone's going to beat them. Gold Coast, give them a priority pick. I'll say it now. Give them a priority pick.
No. Fold them.
Huh? Fold them? Nah, they're not going to fold them. What, send them to Tasmania?
I just don't know. It's just... No. I don't know.
You got to go. They've lost so many players over the last few years. And we're not talking
dodgy. Is May gone as well now?
You think he is. You'd almost shut up shop, wouldn't you, if he left?
I think he's gone.
I haven't heard anything, but you'd almost shut up shop if he decides to pull the pin.
Yep. To lose myself.
It would be a shame to see him go. It would be a shame to see him go.
Yeah.
I just...
If he goes, would you shut up shop then?
Oh, jeez, yeah. You know, they're saying it's the state of the game at the moment. I don't think it's the state of the game. I think it's just the state of the clubs. You know,
Gold Coast clubs?
Gold Coast, St Kilda, Carlton. You'd almost give them all priority picks. Actually, I wouldn't give Carlton one because they've got a bit of a spine. If Melbourne couldn't get one over the last few years, I don't think Carlton do. But St Kilda, they're shite. Gold Coast is shite. Yeah. You'd all give them one. I don't think too many clubs would be, you know, if it was at the end of the first round, I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Yeah. No, with that.
Not after their first pick, no way. But at the end of the first round, if it's going to get these clubs back on track a lot quicker, because it's going to make a bit of a difference, but it's not going to, you know, might win the battle, but it's not going to win the war for them. It's just one piece of the puzzle. They're in some difficult times at the moment, Gold Coast. So we might move on from that. We've spoken about your mob, Collingwood and Brisbane. At one stage, I thought Brisbane were going to take this out at one stage. Yeah. They were looking good. And then half time happened.
Wow. Yeah. And, even three quarter time happened.
Well, three quarter time, there was only three goals in it at that particular moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, Collingwood have taken it out 14 goals, 20. That's some ugly kicking. I thought Melbourne's was worse. That's pretty ugly. Yeah. 104 to
11
goals,
773. Yeah.
Collingwood had to win. They did so. Degoey. Jeez.
Yeah.
He's a gun.
Yeah.
He is a gun.
I can't recall a game. Has Collingwood, I wonder how many times Collingwood scored over 100 points this season. It must be pretty amazingly high because they are, they always seem to be kicking those sort of numbers.
Well, they have been kicking decent scores all year, haven't they?
Yeah, they have been. And that's a sign of a good structure, a good forward structure. Transition from backline to midfield to up to your forwards, which is brilliant.
Well, that's what you want. But you know, last year wasn't there. They never had that last year. Remember, they was always talking about, oh, they've got to get some consistency, get some. They couldn't at all last year. For this year, they certainly are. Even at the first half of the year, they didn't have that high scoring potency.
Yeah.
But they've started, it looks like they've picked it up over the last number of weeks, I'd have to say. I'm looking, well, I would be confident to say that they've had five. I'm just counting it as we speak, just to sort of work it out. Six.
Yeah.
Seven. Up to round 13, they've already had seven.
Yeah.
Oh, they had a bye, so they're not getting that one.
because Brody Majacek and Jordan Degoey, again, up in that forward line for them is just working brilliantly. And Jordan Degoey had his four goals, and Coxie there as well. But, I mean, like having Majacek, who's a fantastic lead and mark, he's really good above his head, strong marker. Having him kick you three goals, and Degoey, who's there to sort of crumb up anything and snap willingly left or right side of his body, amazing.
Yeah. I think it's not, the number's about nine. So I think they've had nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And that's not including a 99.
Okay,
I think what the difference is between Collingwood and my mob and your mob is that, like, I know Melbourne would have had more than that over the course of the year. I think we're the second highest scoring, or we're the highest scoring team in the league.
Okay.
In best percentage. But what they're doing is they're winning the close games where we're not.
Yeah. And our mob just doesn't kick goals. Like, it's just that defense rubbish just keeps teams close like they did for West Coast and other losses for the year.
The best pressure you can put on anyone is scoreboard pressure. And I don't understand why they keep going back to
defense crap.
Defense crap. Yeah. I think Malcolm Blight said it best. It was on the lines of, I don't think there's ever been a game where the person who hasn't scored the most has lost.
Yeah.
why do we defend so much? It doesn't matter if they kick 20 goals, you kick 21. You're still going to win.
Yeah.
So just go out, all out attack, and you're going to win. And that's how football used to be played, but then the whole defensive mindset came in.
Yeah.
Once again, I'll say it from Brisbane's perspective. They've got a great nucleus up there. If you think about, you know, a couple of years ago, and everybody was leaving that place.
Mm.
Fags came in and it's made a massive difference. And and mind you, if you've seen some of the crowds at the Brisbane games this year, they've been getting good crowds as well.
Have they?
They've been getting some really good numbers in there as well. So they can finish off the year with a couple of decent results.
Yeah.
It's just going to put them in for good stead, set them up for a good preseason. I think Hodgie's been amazing for them up there. If Harris Andrews didn't decide to put his head through Jeremy Cameron's elbow, he'd be all Australian this year.
Yeah.
They've got Gold Coast this week, the Battle of the Bridge, which they should win.
Yes.
And going into the last round, they've got West Coast at the Gabba, which is not going to be an easy one for West Coast because Brisbane will want to finish off on a high.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
But they're doing everything that they need to do, Brisbane.
West Coast can't lose second place anymore, can they? So they could rest a couple of stars going into that. You know, I mean, when you say rest, I mean injury concerns.
Yes, they can. They can. They can drop down as far as
West Coast
sixth. Yeah,
Can they really? I thought they'd tied up second place.
So they're on 60 points. If GWS win their next two,
yeah,
that's going to put them to 62 points, which is going to put them above West Coast. Hawthorn win their next two. There's only 2% difference, and they'll make that up in the wins.
Yeah, well.
Collingwood are on 52, and Sydney are on 52. So if all those teams win, and look, regardless if they play each other, because they haven't gone that far,
yeah,
West Coast could drop from second, guaranteed second, where they've been sitting for most of the year, and drop all the way down to sixth.
Yeah.
They'd still get a home final, but an elimination final.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Stranger things have happened in football, as we know, my friend.
Yes, we do.
Look, GWS and Adelaide. Hey, good game. 106 to 92, 14-point win.
Yeah.
To GWS, 15 goals, 16 to 13 goals, 14.
Yep.
The Taylor Walker tackle on Kelly.
Yeah.
That's stiff.
Like, I know he let him go, didn't he? I thought he let him go before he slung him into the ground.
Once again, I reckon that they've played it in slow-mo, and everything looks worse in slow-mo.
Yeah.
It's like they say, you know, television adds 10 kilos. Everything's worse in slow-mo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just frustrating. The GWS, they're just ticking along nicely, but unfortunately they get injuries again.
Yeah.
Just more injuries.
Yep.
But they're going to have a few come back. It was good to see Jeremy Cameron back. I know that he just had a casual 2-1 over the weekend. The good old the flying Dutchman, Harry Himmelberg.
Another two. Yeah.
He kicked four in the grand final. He kicked four in the preliminary final last year, which I didn't realise. He's just ticking along nicely. They're going to get Tom Scully back in a few weeks' time. I think Toby Green's going to be a big miss for them. Like, he's that X factor that they really need.
Is he back at all this season, or is he done?
I think it's going to be, if they make final, when they make finals, but I don't think it'll be first week. It might be second week.
Yeah.
But he's just having injury flare-ups. He's a bit like Jamie Elliott from Collingwood. Just when you think he's ready to go, something happens. Yeah.
Can I say I'm legit surprised that Matt DeBoer is still on the GWS team, on their squad?
Yeah.
I just did not know. I did not know that guy was even still on an AFL list. So, well done, Matt DeBoer. You're like secret spy of the AFL.
He's got the same set of photos that Alex Neil Bullen does. I'm convinced every club has a player who's got photos. They've got one. Port Adelaide would have one, wouldn't they?
We would have one.
Westoff's got photos. Every club's got one.
I agree. I'm just surprised he's on the list. When I saw he was a late admission, I was like, I didn't even know you were playing anymore.
He's been playing some all right football too.
Yeah.
This year.
Anyway.
Now, moving on.
Much to say about this one here about GWS and Adelaide, other than the tackle. Nah. Adelaide officially done.
Yeah, put a fork in. Underwhelming again. Considering this team wanted to play the grand final last year.
Yeah.
Very underwhelming.
Yep. Apparently, there's fights everywhere at the moment in Adelaide. Betts wants out. So that'll be interesting.
I will take him.
You'll take him?
He can play with Jeffrey Garlett. And they can just kill it. Yep. I love it. I love Eddie. He can't act for shit in those Google ads, but footballer, gun. Gun. Now, right, we've got two more games to finish off. You want to start with the crap one, or you want to finish with the awesome one?
Let's go crap finish on a high.
Okay, so the Fremantle Shockers against the Cullship Blues.
Yep.
29-point win to the Dockers. 15 goals, 11 to 10 goals, 12. An interesting fact is that Brad Lloyd, who was the list manager for Fremantle, looks like he's going to be moving over as the head of football into Carlton.
And the great jumper is apparently too offensive.
Pardon? Oh.
And the great jumper is too offensive now.
That's disgusting. It is a shit jumper. What are they thinking? And those little sweat patchy things they have on their asses?
I think I asked you about them. What are these things? The little dots.
Yep. So I reckon they're chamois. So if their hands get like moist, they can just dry their hands so they can grip the ball. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. But I might even see Brad Lloyd at our 25 year St. Bernard's 1993 class reunion on Friday night. Maybe try and see if he can be a guest as a guest interviewee on Lay South. That'd be fascinating to hear his football story from Williamstown
to Hawthorne to manage. It'd be awesome to catch up with Lloyd. He had a bit of a chat. His future direction. I know, well, mind you, it was St. Bernard's, and we did have quite a few from the Italian community there. So I reckon it could be a good number there, and I reckon there'll be about 30 to 40 Carlton supporters badgering him on Friday night. I don't think Carlton are bad, but they're not as bad as St. Kilda. Because they've got Hope. They've got Cripps. They've got Kernos. They've got Cade Simpson, who's still running around. How old is he? 44?
Yep. And they were winning the game until half time.
Yep. And then they almost said, okay, we've done ours. And Fremantle came out and kicked 10. Kicked 7 in that third quarter and just put everything away. Hey, Cam McCarthy kicked 3 goals, one, had 7 marks. It was almost the game that he needed to have, but it was against Carlton. It's against Carlton. Kerno, he's kicked his 2 goals too. From a possession side of things, you have a look at it. Yep. Cripps, another 30.
Cripps again.
He'll get another BNF. But Dale Thomas had a good game. And I've got nothing against Daisy. Even though he had a head that needed regular penalty beating, and he just wanted to slap him when he played for Collingwood. But, he's made a mint off moving over to Carlton, and they're going to give him another year, they reckon. So good on him.
Really?
Yep. Remember last year how he said, look, we'll just go year by year, then automatically give him me next year?
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to give him another year, which would be great because he's played some, decent football this year. He hasn't been the worst.
Yes.
He hasn't been the worst on that list.
Yep. And I do like some of these other guys getting into the best of the Carlton list as well, like Krzyzewski, Seaton.
The hyphen.
It's good to see though, because we've always said that it's always Kerno, Murphy, who else do we say? Cripps. And we're starting to see some different names in there now. Lobie was the best.
Who? Lobie?
Yeah, remember Lobie at the Port Adelaide Ruckman and Ginger?
Yes. And it needs to happen. It needs to happen. These teams need to flourish a little bit, and they can definitely do that. Like I said, I think funny enough, even though Brendan Bolton looks like a school kid at every press conference, and he loves talking about his green shoots, I think he wants to be a garden gnome.
Yeah. He sort of reminds me of Gollum a bit. If Gollum did a press interview.
No, he reminds me of the Milky Bar kid. Or one of the kids who walked in the Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. You know that scene where they first walk in?
Yeah.
That's what he just lights up like a Christmas tree. It's like Christmas every day for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, unfortunately, he gets a shit present every week. Poor bloke. But they did beat Essendon.
They did.
That's the greatest, isn't it? That's the greatest. Last game to finish this round off is probably one of the best games of the season, bar none.
It was a cracker.
Western Bulldogs, I don't know where they've pulled this from. They've come out a 7-point victor over North Melbourne, 13 goals 14 to 12 goals 13. Mm-hmm. They were down by close to 30 points at one stage halfway through that second quarter.
Yep.
And they've come out and kicked 8 in the third to sneak in front, and then they've just taken it away.
Yeah.
That is...
I turned it off at halftime thinking, I went away. I came back probably a little bit, half an hour into the what's the name? And I'm like, hang on, what's happened here? They're leading now.
I've got no idea where that came from at all.
No.
We were at the MCG. And we went and grabbed a beer just behind the goals at the city end.
Yeah.
We walked in and said, it's not too close. And we came back and then they said, the Doggies have won. Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
It was close, but they were down.
Yep.
But it was great. You have a look at the top four in terms of, Dream Team points, etc. Hunter, Caleb, Daniel. Hunter's had 44. Daniel's had 4. Caleb Daniel's had 40. That's nearly half a footballer, so make that 80. Bontempelli's had 35 and McRae's had 40.
Yeah.
That's 159 possessions between 4 blokes.
Yep.
That is taking the piss. When was the last time you saw 4 blokes in a team get 40? Or 3 blokes in a team get 30? I mean, get 40. Well,
no.
Unless you got 4. Like Tom, unless you got 3 Tom Mitchells.
Exactly right.
It's not going to happen. But even Benny Brown, he still kicked his 4. Tory Dixon, he's kicked his 3 goals 1. The Bonds kicked 2. Apparently the Bonds.
Bontempelli's a stud. He's a stud.
He is a stud.
He is so good.
He is good. And I reckon Melbourne set his career up. Remember when he kicked that goal in the pocket against the
team? Yeah.
I reckon that was a start. I think so. I think Melbourne should take some credit for that.
What was that? Was that a snap? Wasn't it? As off the hand and snap.
It was
a banana, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was almost like, I think I said it last week, it was almost like playing Pac-Man and like the four ghosts coming at you at once and you're able to just get away. And then he decided to slot one on his left, on his right foot, put it through the goal.
Yeah.
He is a gun.
Yeah.
He is a gun. And look, North aren't going to make finals now based on that. But they've exceeded their expectations, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've exceeded. And the Doggies, look, maybe that's the catalyst to get the ball rolling. I know it's another wasted season. But higher up on the ladder, look, there's the highest they can go is 13th.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, finish on more wins than you had the year before.
Yeah.
What did they have last year? Oh no, they didn't. They had 11 last year.
Yeah. They finished with quite almost the equal record.
It's almost going to be the same as last year.
Yeah.
So you know, North have done well. The Doggies have had a great win. It was just a belter of a game, and that's what I said. That the quality of the football probably over the last 6 to 7 weeks has been really, really exciting because teams have to win.
Yeah.
You have to win. None of this, you know, defense. And if we get across the line, there's always next week. There's no next week. Teams have to win. And it's been some exciting football. Unfortunately, you've got the ones down the bottom who are making the game look pretty crappy. So,
The good thing about Western Bulldogs is this with this list here, because last year, you know, it was all about the Bulldogs hangover.
Yeah.
Where now they're 1 year later. So some of these players who just are not performing anymore at the level they were 2 years ago, they could start to release them because their contracts are starting to come up.
Yes.
So they actually start to cull some of that dead wood that they need to get rid of. So it's not the end of the world for the Bulldogs just yet.
Oh, no. And they'll release some size in their salary cap as well.
Yep.
And you know what? Money talks and they'll get some people. They'll get some people across. It will definitely happen. And I do have a bit of a soft spot for the teams. That was Big Nan's team, who's no longer with.
Oh, was it?
Love the Dogs. And my uncle's a doggy supporter. Auntie's a doggy supporter. So they grew up in Yarraville and Newport, so just down the tracks from the Whit Noble. So it has a bit of a soft spot for us. So, you know, you really want them back up as soon as possible as well. Yep. All righty. We're on the home stretch. But as you know, before we kick into the last thing, one of the things we have to go through this week is The Great Pretender. And let's roll the music.
Oh, yes, I'm the Great Pretender.
This week's Great Pretender. It's not going to be hosted by myself. It's been hosted by my cohort, Jamie Wallace, who has a Great Pretender that's very, very close to his heart. Jamie.
This week's great pretender for mine is the Port Adelaide Football Club. Not the list, but the whole club is under my eye.
They're just pathetic.
Yep. It's bad.
Yeah. I think presidents should be seen to be doing work, but not heard. And your president is the complete flip of that.
Yep.
He wants to be seen. Yep. And then when you're making yourself more than the club, that's
exactly.
And I don't think Ken's finding it easy. I don't think you've got the right assistance there. There need to be changes from the top. You can't keep doing the same thing time and time again and expecting a different result. And just the way that the lack of leadership in that last 25 seconds for that ball to go down and having short people on tall people. I don't know what the hell Robbie Gray was doing down there. You should have had a couple.
Well, you and I skewered both our captains. I'm skewering Travis Boak for not being a leader, and next year is going to give it up. And you're skewered. What's her name? Jones. So we've had a successful podcast.
Yeah, we've had a great podcast. We've got an heir apparent as Jack Fine. Yeah. Yours would have to be his best mate, Ollie Wines, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So there's definitely going to be some changes from your end. I know there's going to be definitely some changes from mine. I think there might be a couple of assistants that might change it up. But just for that perspective, Port Adelaide, you are this week's Great Pretender. All righty, home stretch, Jamie Wallace. That's it. Can you believe another week of Lace Out has been completed? Just to listeners out there, remember, we are here every Tuesday night pumping out the single greatest non-AFL endorsed podcast relating to the great game. Remember, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, a copious amounts, the Anchor Network. More importantly, head over to Twitter at CJPepper06. J-Dog, do you have a Twitter handle?
I do, JWallace84.
Let us know what you want to hear on the show. Let us know who you'd like to see us maybe try and sneak an interview with. More importantly, if you have a question for us, I can let you know that leading up to the finals, we're going to have a special finals edition with myself, Jamie, and the Love Machine, all three of us going live to talk about our thoughts on the first week of finals. And we're also going to do a bit of a recap of season 2018 for the people that didn't make it as well. But most importantly, thank you very much for tuning in. Let us know your feedback. And as always, hey, J-Dog, how do you like your football?
I like it laces out, peps.
Ah, so do I, big fella. Have a great week, everybody. See you next
time. See you, listeners. Bye.